Stop. Before you consider taking drastic measures to lose weight, like GLP-1 injections, consider Golo. Golo's release is easier than injections and fad diets. No need to jump through insurance hoops. It's simple. You take one release supplement with each meal. Golo's release supplement contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals that target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. With Golo, you follow the Golo for Life plan, where you'll safely and effectively control sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, allowing you to feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. With Golo, you get an effective and affordable weight loss solution that's clinically proven. Because controlling glucose, maintaining healthy insulin levels, and saying goodbye to starvation dieting is the secret to lasting weight loss and wellness. Visit Golo.com to get started today. That's Golo.com. Go to Golo.com to join the 5 million people who have switched to Golo as a better way to lose weight. Visit Golo.com today.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Three Terrible Gamers podcast. This is episode 110. I'm here with Colin.
Hey guys.
All right, we are back after pre-recording last week's episode, so we have fresh new topics. Zelda Echoes of Wisdom is the first game in this series to not credit Shigeru Miyamoto.
The creator of the series, Miyamoto, has been credited in almost every other Zelda game in the series. Obviously, with the exception of Echoes of Wisdom. And I think
The CDI games.
Yeah, the CDI game. Also, Miyamoto's absence from the credits for Echoes of Wisdom may be a sign that he's stepping back from the game's development. He's been focusing on other opportunities for Nintendo, such as the company's film and amusement park efforts. Miyamoto has also had a diminished role on other recent game projects. Miyamoto is an influential video game designer who has created other popular franchises, including Mario, Donkey Kong, Star Fox, and Pikmin alike. But yeah, I mean, everybody's day in the sun happens. I think he's been with the company for 45 years now.
Long time.
In total. So, going back, what I said, 45 years, so that would put you in the 70s, almost? Yeah. 79?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, he pretty much, I mean, he came in before the NES was a thing. Then with the company. Yeah, I mean,
That's a long time.
Really, no surprise that they're doing it. Because most people would have retired by now. You think usually you work 40 years and then you're done, depending on obviously your country and what all your retirement stuff winds up looking like.
Oh yeah, he could definitely retire if he wanted to, but
yeah,
thing is he doesn't. And
yeah,
you know, he's the creator of Mario and Zelda, and you know, it's just not seeing his name in the credits is definitely different. And
yeah,
I'm happy that he's able to do other things like, you know, the amusement park, the museum and stuff. But at the same time, I kind of miss him working on those games. Not really because the games were that much better, just because who he is and what he's done for the, you know, gaming industry. And the fact that he's still there, he could be credited. And, you know, sometime in the future, he's not going to be there. So, obviously, he won't be credited. So, it just sucks to not see him credited while he's still there.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess he technically didn't have his hand in the game, obviously, as much as what he has had in the past.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, minus them using all their concepts and everything, but at the same time, it's Nintendo that owns the game, not technically Miyamoto himself, even though he was the
creator of it.
Initial creator. But I guess that's the same thing with, you know, Stan Lee. The Marvel Universe is still around, but, you know, Stan Lee's gone. Right. I guess that's the closest comparison you could make to something in that sense.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm sure he'll be just like Stanley in that sense. He'll be there until he's gone.
I would assume.
That's so, yeah,
his,
I mean...
That's his life, pretty much, you know? That's what he does.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I agree with that article that I got that from, because he has been focusing more, especially on the museum part now, since it's officially open in Japan. And then you got your Nintendo Worlds in, I believe, California and Japan itself.
Which, I mean, of all the people that's been with Nintendo, like you said, he's been there 45 years. That's the man for the job, for the amusement park, to make sure everything's right how it should be, for the museum, make sure everything, you know, the history and everything's right, all the exhibits and stuff. So that's the man for the job. He's very, I mean, look at all the games he's made over the years. He's produced, he's directed, whatever. He's the man for the job, attention to detail and everything. So, and that's why he gets those jobs. Yeah, in the movies. So that's why he... That's why he's in that position.
Yeah. So, yeah, he obviously, he's one person. He can't do everything all at one time.
Right.
And Nintendo's obviously super massive.
Yeah. Well, especially him doing the amusement parks museum. He's traveling. So, if he's traveling, he's not in Nintendo headquarters to help with the game. So.
Yeah. Which, like I said, they have all the concepts they could possibly want, since Echoes of Wisdom literally has, as we talked about before, basically an Ultra Hand ability, being bind and, you know, everything else.
Basically an open world 2D Zelda. You know, it's
kind of hard to mess up.
Yeah. And, I mean, they still, you know, Eiji Aonuma, the producer of the series, he's still there, you know, working on it. So, he'll make sure nothing goes wrong, you know, how it's going to be a good Zelda game with Aonuma around.
Which, like I said, I knew it was going to happen eventually. It's just, it's official after, what, 86 is when the first Zelda came out?
Yeah. And nobody likes the CDI games. They don't count.
Don't count those.
They're not canon.
I was going to say, they're not even canon because they're not even in the
timeline.
Hyrule Historia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Nintendo don't even count them as canon.
No. I mean, who would? They were huge flops.
But they weren't even technically Nintendo games, if I'm correct. I believe so, right?
They didn't have anything to do with them, though.
They said they didn't have no branding in it.
Nope. They just... It's kind of like what they did... kind of like what they did with Capcom. I mean, yeah, Capcom worked in with Nintendo, but they pretty much said, here's what... gave him a blueprint and said, make a game using this. And but with Philips, the CDI, like, I guess it was not even like a blueprint. They just gave him the IP and was like, here, do whatever you want. And that's why they sucked.
Yep. That was since then. They haven't really, they've been hesitant to let anyone touch it.
Yeah, I don't blame them at all. All right. Nintendo reveals Alarmo.
2024 is just chock full of surprises. Something that don't really make no sense in today's time.
Hey, it's new Nintendo hardware. It's not the Switch it 2, is, but...
It is new Nintendo hardware, but it's definitely outdated for what it is.
Yeah.
But Nintendo, as you guys can probably tell, Alarmo, it's an alarm clock. So, Nintendo has came off an alarm clock, you know, probably 15 years since they was relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have had this idea then.
Yeah. But the Nintendo Sound Clock Alarmo was revealed on October 9th with a listing on Nintendo America's website showing off the many features of a unique alarm clock. The $99 device plays music and sounds from popular Nintendo titles to help players get up in the morning, even detecting movement and shutting off when a person has actually gotten out of bed. Currently, the clock includes 35 different sounds and songs from 5 popular Nintendo titles, being Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 3, Pikmin 4, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Ring Fit Adventure. Never heard of the last one.
It's it's basically the Switch's like Wii Fit, like it.
Don't even know. I mean, I haven't seen. They really pushed Wii Fit, but they haven't pushed anything since then.
No,
fitness wise. But following the device's launch, a day one patch has been released with more updates coming in the future. So yeah, they decided to do an alarm clock 15 years too late, since everybody has cell phones now that has their own alarm clocks. And sorry to say this, Nintendo, but just like how people can pirate your games, they pirate your music too to wake up to already.
I'm one of
those people.
Yeah. I mean,
I wake up to the Guardian noises every single day.
The Guardian noises.
Nice.
I was thinking, like, why did they choose, like, Breath of the Wild instead of Tears of the Kingdom? Since Tears of the Kingdom.
Guardian noises.
Maybe. I don't know what. They didn't say what sounds Breath of the Wild had, but.
Guardian noises. They got Guardian noises in Breath of the Wild. They don't got that in Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I got mine for free, though.
So the Guardian noises is that you wake up to, is it like when they're shooting, they're aiming the laser? Or is it like the music, like the intense music? The music
before they start.
No.
Kind of like when they detected you.
Nice.
You know, the thing that scares the crap out of you the first time that you run into one?
Yeah. Well, even you're just walking through the game and then you start hearing that music and you can't even see the stupid guardian. You're like, where the crap is it? Yeah. It sees you, but...
That's what I've been waking up to for a while, so there's no sense of me getting that alarm clock.
So you're not going to get it.
I mean, I understand it's probably more of a collector's thing than what it is an actual being usage, but if I'm paying $100 for something, I'm going to use it.
Right. Yeah, I'd get it for collector's purposes, probably if it was like $50.
Yeah.
But $100, it's a little steep, I think, for an alarm clock that I wouldn't use as an alarm clock.
Yeah.
Because like I use my phone. I've used my phone for years.
Yep.
Haven't used an actual alarm clock since like 7th grade.
About 15 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a cool idea, and it's definitely a Nintendo idea. But I don't know how well this will sell for them. And I don't think they honestly care how well it'll sell, just Nintendo being Nintendo.
Well, in theory, they could make, since they have their little lands or whatever, they wind up getting hotels that goes with their Nintendo Land stuff. They could make that custom in every single room.
Oh, yeah,
they
would, that'd be cool.
Of course, the hotels to buy them there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But just actual consumers buying them, I don't know.
Especially since, like I said, it's easy to just grab their music and make it into a alarm sound nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to just get any audio you want, pretty much, for free. Okay. The Sonic franchise will support last-gen consoles as long as possible.
The Sonic team says Sonic games will run on last-gen systems for as long as possible. Sonic team producer Takashi Iizuka has chatted with IGN about the recent announced PlayStation 5 Pro console and whether they will be supporting the system.
Naturally, the upcoming Sonic game, Sonic X Shadow Generations, isn't really pushing any visual boundaries, so there's little they could add from a power perspective over the base PlayStation 5. One interesting thing that came out of the interview is that the Sonic team will continue developing Sonic games on lower spec consoles such as the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation 4, both of which will still have which still have a large audience, plus the Switch 2 being comparable to a portable PlayStation 4 console that's unlikely to change anytime soon. As a market, we have the high-end machines, high-end consoles coming out with those consoles. We feel that we can make newer Sonic games that can express the speed of Sonic and with much better gaming UI as well. However, we want to support the lower spec constants as well. So even though the PS5 Pro is coming out, or new innovations or technology are coming out, we feel that it is important to support with the lower spec consoles and let many of the users keep playing Sonic. So basically, that's just, to me, that's just Sega seeing the opportunity to make more money. More consoles, more money, you know. As long as people are still playing those consoles, they'll still buy them for those consoles. You don't have to print them, print as many games for those last gen consoles, but what you do print might sell pretty well.
Yeah, it's not like they're not struggling, because obviously Sonic's really the only thing keeping them afloat.
Pretty much.
And in this situation, if they, especially with the Switch 2 around the corner in the next 6 months, roughly, you know, by their fiscal year anyways, but so with saying that, and, you know, Sega and Nintendo being as close as what they are with stuff, they keep it on the last gen console, not worry about the, look how many Switch systems can automatically go onto it, PS4s, Xbox Ones. It's just smart to stay back that far, because obviously Sega is a dying company, with Sonic being really their only redeeming factor right now.
They've been a dying company since the Dreamcast. I mean, it's been like that for over 20 years.
But it just, like you said, it makes sense for them to stay back and try to appease the people that haven't upgraded their consoles yet. I mean, obviously they'll make stuff for the newer consoles too, because they'll get their, they don't put all their eggs in one basket with the consoles. If that was the case, they would go ahead and just jump up to next gen and just call it what it is.
Right. Which a lot of companies are.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you said,
they don't really have a choice.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for me, to me, Sega, the best thing that they could do, yes, Sonic's great and everything, but like I said, that's the only thing keeping them alive right now. So what they really need is a new IP that would grab people's attention. Yeah, I know that's a big gamble, because if it doesn't, you know, succeed, then that could put them under, but it may not, because Sonic's still there to basically catch them if they need it. So I think it would be worth that gamble to try to make a new IP that would succeed.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Or swallow their pride and get bought out by somebody.
Like Nintendo, that'd be the best company. Them or Microsoft.
They're already being a partner with them anyways.
Right, as I'm saying. Them or Microsoft, but more Nintendo. Nintendo would definitely, because Sega's, they're all pretty similar to Nintendo. You know, they're not as family friendly as Nintendo, but they're still, you know, not as mature as Microsoft or Sony or anything. So I think Nintendo would be the best bet for, you know, if they were to get bought out. So,
well, then you already have a Sega emulator on Nintendo consoles.
Yeah.
You know, if you pay for that, you know, feature or whatever, but there's already a partnership there.
Right. Exactly.
They don't have anything else.
Right.
I say that's eventually what will happen once Sega finally depletes their final vows, but
right now they're staying alive.
Yeah.
Sonic Frontiers, Sonic, yep, Sonic X, Shadow Generations, which is just Sonic Generations remake, but
yeah,
a remaster. But
and then the movie coming out.
Yeah, in December. Sonic's, like you said, keeping them alive. Single-handedly.
Yeah. So I can't really, I know there's another Sega game that just came out a few Goosebumps Go or whatever. I don't really see it around, like, talked about anymore already.
Yeah, I mean, for a while there, though, like, Sega Sonic's game weren't even, like, they weren't even good. Like, they sucked. So they were, like, really, really struggling. But
like, from 06 to 2017, with maybe one good one in that time frame.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, they had a rough time, and then Frontiers saved them. And then, since then, they got, like, Sonic.
I even called Frontiers back, because I said 17. But like I said,
Sonic Mania was good, and then Sonic Frontiers, and then Sonic Superstars, or whatever crap.
I think so. Wait, Frontiers was one that just came out, wasn't it?
Frontiers is the open world when it came out.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, 2 years ago at this point.
Oh, which one came out when the Switch released?
That's Forces.
Yeah, Forces. It's sort of an F. I was close enough.
Yeah.
Never claimed to be good at this stuff.
Yeah, Forces. It's kind of trash.
That one sucked too. That was, I think, the last bad one.
Yeah.
Out of that whole group of like 11-year span. Yeah, of course, we're not like
06. It started everything. From there, it was just downhill for a long time.
Yeah. Because it was the first one it released on the Wii was a pretty bad Sonic game.
Yeah, and then after that, they just... Was it Sonic and the Black Knight and Sonic and the Secret Rings and crap? They weren't even like true Sonic games. They were like Mario Party games. They just had mini games and crap and just trash. Unleashed and Generations were good. So those released. I mean, I don't know if they were before or after 06 when they released, but. I'm thinking after, though, because they released on the 360. And 360 was 05, which it could have been 05, but those two, you think, would have been a little bit after 06.
Oh, like I said, in that time frame, I think they had one or two good titles, but they had a bunch of flops in that.
No, so mostly flops.
What that was in between.
Yeah, mostly flops.
Like I said, they just did not have a good 11-year stretch. Like I said, they had one or two good ones in between those 11 years, but nothing really stood out because Generations don't really even stand out to me.
I never played it a lot. I'll play the remake, but Unleashed, it was okay.
I think just anything with Unleashed in it makes it a good game.
Yeah.
Dude, you got MX versus ATV too.
That's right. And just MX Unleashed is good.
Yeah. Yep. Unleash automatically makes it a good game.
Yeah, apparently. So, yeah. We'll see what happens with Sega. I'd say maybe in the next 10 years, they'll be bought out by somebody. They'll be tired of just fighting to stay alive. Because that's what they've been doing for the past 25 years, 27 years, whatever, just fighting to stay alive.
I still don't understand why they got rid of Crazy Taxi or don't make any Crazy Taxi games anymore.
What was it? We went over a couple months ago that they might be remaking the first two, but I haven't heard anything else about it.
That could be an IP that helps them out a lot.
Oh, yeah. People love, I mean, there's fun games, but.
It's not technically a racing game, but, you know, it's the same concept, and people would... A lot of people buy racing games.
Mm-hmm. But I just think that it's worth the gamble for them to get a new IP something. And, I mean, they got the skill. They've got a good team. They had a lot of good IPs back in the day, but they just let them all die to keep Sonic alive, which is fine. You know, I get it. Sonic's their bestseller and it's worth keeping alive, but it's also worth having some other things like Nintendo. You know, they have several franchises.
Yeah, they definitely did what Sony did and kept their mascot alive.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's aggravating how protective Nintendo is over their IPs, but like I said, at least they don't sell them to other companies like Sony did.
That's true. For sure.
Screwed him over. right. Halo Infinite is getting a third-person mode and Unreal Engine.
Ooh. As fans will know, this marks the first time a third-person mode has been officially offered in a Halo game. Senior Community Manager John Janinski and Skybox Lab Senior Software Engineer Colin Cove offered a bit of information at the Halo World Championship panel, saying they'll be starting with third-person firefight mode in a future update, but will also have the ability to do in PvP and control it in the Forge. Per Cove, they clarified that third-person mode will be supported in the mode level with Forge controls. Modes can switch individual players or all the players between first and third person perspective whenever desired. It's currently unclear if it will be available in a campaign mode or restricted to multiplayer. And I believe they're using Unreal Engine 5 to complete this task. But I don't know. It's to me, Halo is a first person shooter.
Yeah.
I would expect something. Obviously, it just reminds me of Gears of War at that point, in that case. And at that point, for Microsoft, why have both?
Yeah.
Titles.
Because Gears 6 is coming out sometime.
Because you're already getting a third person. I mean, obviously, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be an optional thing. But
why?
Yeah.
That's when I seen this, I was like, why? I mean, the genre of Halo is a first-person shooter. Like, that's what it is. It's like Call of Duty. It's like Destiny, you know, it's first-person shooter. But, and to me, I'd rather play a first-person shooter than a third-person shooter.
Yeah. Like, Fortnite would be 100 times better if it was a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it would.
Building might, which I don't play build mode, so just say building might be a little wonky with first person mode, but actual like shooting wise, I prefer.
Yeah. Well, and I believe it was Black Ops 6 that said it'll have a third person mode, like optional mode too, in the final game, unless they scrap it, but that's what said is going to be a third person option. So I don't know why everything's going third person when both these games are first person shooters.
Fortnite.
Oh yeah, but Fortnite's just its own thing. Just
ironically enough, they're trying to appeal to the kids, even though legally the kids can't buy the game by themselves.
Right, and I mean they know the kids play them. You know, they always have, they always will.
You're not getting passed out, but. Like I said, that's all Mifflin are trying to appeal to, but like I said, at the same time, you're technically not supposed to make it to where they're interested in it for that sense. That's just trying to draw them in.
Yeah, but they don't care. They just want players. They don't care how old they are at the end of the day. Sure. You know?
And at the end of the day, it's up to their parents. It's up to their parents. They want to play the game anyways.
Right. It's up to their parents.
But yeah, like I said, it's everything's trying to be like Fortnite to an extent. Which, like I said, I can understand it to an extent, but your games have been around for that long, and you're just now wanting to change up the formula. Because there's something else that hasn't been there as long as what you have.
Right.
But they're getting all kinds of attention.
I mean, yeah, Fortnite, it's a huge success. I mean, we get it and everything, but so is Call of Duty, so is Halo. Maybe not the newer entries in both of those series, but, you know, all in all, they're both. They've made more money than Fortnite has, but that's over the years. So I get it. While they're trying to, you know, switch it up to look more like Fortnite, but it's still not the same.
No.
Because it's not a battle royale.
Nope.
Because I haven't heard any word that Warzone's going to be third person. So,
I mean, even Warzone's first person.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I mean, I know Microsoft just acquired them, but still, it's the same concept. You can have a battle royale and still be a first person shooter if that's what you're known for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It doesn't matter what perspective you're looking at. It just matters. I mean, the genre is battle royale. It doesn't have to be third or first.
Mm-hmm. And if you're known for a first, stay with a first. Now, if you want to go and do like a little side project and base it in the same universe and do a third person and try it out, go for it.
Yeah, but
I guess, I mean, they're technically making it as a side mode in Infinite, so I guess that makes sense a little bit, but at the same time, like I said, I would think go try to make something small or whatever just to try it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, but I know, what was it? The Battle Royale in Call of Duty Mobile. Not Warzone Mobile, but the original, you know, Call of Duty Mobile. It had a first and a third person option too, best I can remember. Now the multiplayer didn't. It was first person only, but the Battle Royale was third or first. But it was in two separate lobbies. They had two different lobbies for each. You wasn't playing against, you know, different ones.
Been forever since I've played it. I don't remember.
I haven't played in a while, but I do remember that. But that's all the time we have. We appreciate you guys for listening. Follow all of our podcast socials, our Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, pretty much all of them. Join our Discord. Buy our merch on Redbubble and TeePublic. Colin, do you have anything? All right. We appreciate you guys for listening. Catch you in the next episode.
Later, guys.